And welcome back to another episode of The Last Storm. My name is Mark. I'm back with Dave. We're narrowing in on what we have to do to get the 10th seed. We got a game advantage over Dallas. We're down a game on Minnesota, which really leads us to think we can do this because we have the tiebreaker over Dallas. Three games left. We got the Warriors, the Jazz, and the Grizz. What do we got to do to get into the playoffs, Dave?
Well, I think what's happening in Dallas is shameful right now, and I think it's going to be really hard for Dallas to pull out their heads out of their ass. So let's just be honest. I don't think we have to do much to make it to the playoffs, but I do think that we need to hold back Utah. So we definitely need to get that win, and I do think that we can sneak a win out against Golden State or even the Grizzlies, because the Grizzlies now are in a spot where they get one more win and they cement their place, and then they don't need to go back out and play. And it's big because they need rest. So I do think this is going to be a situation where we could be playing Grizzlies on the last day and the game doesn't matter to them. And if the game doesn't matter to them, then we can go out there and hopefully get that W and cement our spot as that 10th seed. And it's a powerful thing, because if you think about it, getting into the playoffs and hitting that 10th seed, that's where the bee's knees is at, man, because you're still in the lottery and you're top 12. So it's a win-win situation for this team.
Yeah, I mean, if we could get into the play-in, have a chance for some of this really intense basketball, maybe even play the Timberwolves, who I think we could beat.
Yeah.
Then we're in a really interesting spot, like you said, because we still get really good draft capital. We saw Sam Presti, you know, trade three picks to make sure he could get Jang and J-Dub. But in reality, three picks for a single player, if you already are hanging on to the 12th spot, you can pretty much pick anybody you want that falls out of the top five if you're willing to trade some capital up. Or if you're willing to do what we did and wait till J-Dub falls to you, then you can find a way to find an impact player. You know, as a rookie, maybe not every year we'll be able to find somebody that good at that spot, but every year there is somebody available who has talent, who can play, who's available at that spot. So we're betting on Sam Presti to be the guy who digs out that player.
Yeah, and we love talking about draft, but one of the things that we don't like to do is talk about the draft during the season, because what happens is it sidetracks from what's happening with the team. And we don't need to sit here and highlight what all the weaknesses are right now, because that's something Sam Presti and the coaching staff are going to do during the offseason, and we'll be there talking it through with you guys. So our focus really is what's happening this season and understanding this team has a really great push, and knowing in the back of our heads that, you know, we could end up with a top 12 pick is pretty baller. Right now, though, for this young team, I saw last night a real big fight, bro. Like, the realization that we're in this and we have to step it up happened. You know, we saw these guys step it up. And yes, we didn't have enough steam to get it done. But that, again, that's because we're a young team playing against a very seasoned veteran team out there that had made it already to the finals and has a finals MVP on it already. Like, this team is very seasoned and very ready to go and win a championship this year. So the fact that we were able to keep it close like this in a game that was, I would say, a very big game for this young team, I felt like was a great accomplishment for them.
Yeah, of course we wanted the win, but in the end, we wanted more to compete for four quarters. We wanted to find a way to pick up some positives from this and really make the Suns play their A game against us, because that's how we're going to learn the most. They landed some haymakers, and we were able to bounce back and respond, find a way to stay relevant throughout the game, and they hit some really big shots down the stretch to make sure that it stayed out of reach.
Back-to-back threes by KD. I mean, it was pretty crazy, bro.
You got to tip your hat to them. But at the same time, when you look up and you say between 8 and 5 in the West, there's only a half a game separating those teams, those four teams. The Pelicans, the Lakers, the Warriors, and the Clippers, half a game separating. And then you look at where we're at, and we got a game between the teams beneath us and above us.
Sure.
It's definitely our spot to take. Now, we're asking, with three games in 1 week, we've got to find a way to at least win one. Two will pretty much seal it up for us.
Well, two does seal it, because here's the reality is, if you're looking at the standings right now, we're one game ahead of Dallas. But Dallas ties us, right? So if they tie us, we still win the tiebreaker. So they got to win two more games than us, okay? That being said, is we have how many games left on the season? Three.
Three.
So really, if we would get one game, and I don't think Dallas is going to go 3-0. So with that being said, is that we get one game, I think it cements our place in the playoffs.
But if they do go 3-0 and we go 2-3, then we still are good.
Yeah, we could go 1-3 even.
If they went 2-3.
Well, 2-3, I guess. If they went 2-3, then we would have to come back at
1-3.
Yeah, one.
That's
and three.
It, bro.
Yeah, that's it. One, we just have to win one game.
We'll cover them if they go 2-3.
That's
three
right.
And three, we got to go 2-3.
2-3.
There's no way that we need to go 3-3, because the Jazz have, you know, they're looking a game and a half behind us right now.
We just have to beat Jazz. Right, we have to beat the Jazz.
We got to beat the Jazz. It could tighten up for the Jazz on us in this situation if they beat us, because it would be a full game swing for them, in which case they'd only be
half a game.
What, half a game behind us? So, depending on how this all shakes down, but with everything going on, there's two for sure things. First of all, there's more congestion in front of us, so we're not going to move up that far. And there's a lot of congestion behind us, but right now we're in a little bit of a bubble that gives us the ability to, you know, just notice that we can control our destiny. We just win a couple of games and we're fine. We're playing against teams that are already making the playoffs for the most part, and that gives us the opportunity to really kind of lock in. I don't think the Warriors are feeling comfortable enough right now, though, to just mail it in. And a lot of people think we can beat the Warriors, but it's going to be one of the toughest games of the season, similar to the way the Suns played us, a really tough game.
Yeah, in order for us to win, we're going to have something. Need to have something like Josh triple-double, Dort 25-plus points, Shea getting to 40. Like, we're going to have the entire team go off. And to me, I think that's possible against the Warriors because of the way they play defense. I know we can put up 135-plus points easy. So to me, it's about going out there. Playing a team like we did last night, I felt like their defense was on point a lot of times. You know, and being the Suns, you know, Monty Williams is a great defensive coach. So I feel like their defense was good. And that, you know, brought issues. But when we're playing against a team like the Warriors, that they're not known for their defense and one of the worst defenses in the league, I feel like that puts us in a spot that we can just turn up our defense, hopefully. Obviously, we've given up 130 points a lot recently. But I do think that I think that this team could really put some defensive pressure on the Warriors, causing them to make some silly mistakes because it's late in the season, hopefully, again. And I think we can capitalize on that. Now, whether or not that happens or not, I think it's going to have to just be patient to see, because this team is still really young. And we talked about it the last five games of the season. We'll see how strong this team truly is. And mentally strong is part of that, because when you have a young team trying to fight for it and things aren't working out, like you're not getting the wins that you need to get mentally, then there's sometimes guys that start doing the blame game or this or that. And you find out who your leaders are in the locker room. And then there's the guys that pull everybody out of the shit. And I think that's where this needs to be happening right now, is we need to see that positivity, you know, from in that locker room and through the guys, because they need to be pulling themselves up. They need to have the confidence right now, because even one win gives you such a positive vibe that, okay, we're good now, you know, and that's what's great about it.
Yeah, it was an incredible game last night. Josh Giddey was flirting with a triple-double. Shea had 39 points. We got some really good contributions off the bench, but when you're playing against, like you said, a team that made it to the finals and that now have added a finals MVP to it, like, you literally need to play one of your best games of the season, if not the best game of the whole season.
It needs to be a perfect game.
You know, and we flirted with it. You know, we could have put on a little bit of a run, but basically we got to the point where we needed them to miss shots. We just weren't going to be able to catch up if they were continuing to knock down threes every time they took them early in the shot clock. Different situations, you're like, oh, that's an advantage three for us if they miss it, but they would hit them. And
yeah,
that was the stretch run. Yeah, it was. And that's what it's like to be against truly great players. The insane thing, too, was that we were right there as the game went down, the wire. So I just feel like it's the growing experiences.
I think in like 2 or 3 years when we're playing against, let's say, like Houston, you know, and they're the little stepbrothers, and like we're making it to the finals and we have all these great players on it, you know. Houston.
Yeah.
They're You're still right. in the rebuild mode.
Right. And they're bragging about how they played with us for four quarters. And we kept their hand on their head like a big brother to a little brother.
Good job, guys. You did it. You stayed with us for four quarters until we put our jets on. And then you guys right. did it.
And that, I mean, that's the reality of what's happening. But as this comes down, bro, we got a chance still to make a run to get to 500 at the end of the season.
Dude, we can
I think
do it.
We all kind of think that we'd be feeling lucky if we got to 40-42, something like that would be enough. But
dude, listen, when we started the season and you asked me without Chet how many wins we were going to get, and I was like, anything above 35 is a bonus, but I think we can end up with 40. And I was saying with Chet 45, I feel like that's where this team's at. You know, like you know, they're doing really, really good. And to me, it doesn't matter if we get 40 wins, but the reality of what we're seeing with this team and how they've come together and played together and overcome such adversities of losing Chet. And guys, you think that hurt to us? I mean, Shea had to be sick the second he heard Chet was out. You know, all these guys probably had like, you know, like a semi-panic attack, being like, fuck, dude, we could have done this. We could have done something great. And then with Kenny Hustle going out, I like took a step back. I was like, are we going to be able to make this push without Kenny? Because Kenny is so much of that person we need in the locker room and on that bench playing. And he brings that level of consistency off that bench or starting. And I didn't know if we could do it without Kenny, but we have. And it shows the resilience of each one of these guys. And I think I love that word so much, because when you hear Sam Presti say it, it just kind of like curls off his tongue. Resilience. And anyways, so I think about how this team has just stepped up in a major way and really been amazing. And you can say it's the defense, you can say it's the offense, but the reality is it's a team basketball. And it's bringing back to what is so more powerful about when you play as a team versus the ISO game. You look at the Golden State Warriors, you look at the Clippers, and all these teams that are ISO, ISO, ISO. And it's like, I'm so glad we're getting away from that. I'm so glad that the new NBA is going to be positionless basketball, that we can get away from that nonsense, because I'm so sick of ISO basketball. I want to see team hoops, and I want to see it right now.
Yeah, and when we get a chance to see this team peaking on all cylinders, we're talking about J-Dub getting out there, putting up 25-plus. We're talking about Dort, you know, finding his groove offensively, making sure he's being a playmaker. J-Will taking charges all over the court, which we saw, knocking down threes. Isaiah Joe knocking down trays, Wiggins cutting to the hole, like, and finishing. We saw all this, right? But still, we were against a better team. And in the end, you know, the Suns got
Wiggins
the win.
Wiggins is back. I call it the backdoor cut, but it's really the follow cut. The follow cut is so elite. And I love the fact that these guys, they know that he's there. You know, Wiggins or J-Dub would get off the ground and he realizes that he's about to get blocked and he knows that Wiggins is there. You know, same with Giddy. He knows that the second he's going baseline and he got pushed too far baseline, he's going out of balance, that Wiggins is going backdoor. They know that they can cut backdoor and do the old-fashioned, as we called, I forget what we called it, but it would be the pump fake and then backdoor, you know, pass mm-hmm. right there. Like, there's so many things that Wiggins is doing right now that it's making it so that it's like, he's our secret weapon, you know? And the more he's doing it, the more I'm like, he's got to play more. He's got to be out there more. He's got to be pushed. And he's a special player, guys. Keep your eye on him.
Yeah, and we got to see a lot of great efforts. And we're expecting to see the same thing coming up against the Warriors. It's a late game starting at 10 tomorrow. But we know...
Eastern, yep.
Yeah, 10 Eastern. We know that everybody is going to be locked in, holding their breath, because a win here would go a long way. We're also keeping an eye on what's going on with the Dallas. And not as much, but the Timberwolves are worth keeping an eye on. This is what it's all about, guys. As the season winds down, we're right in the thick of things, and we're watching the playoff standings. We're watching the other teams. This is NBA basketball at its best.
That's right, man. It's the lifeblood right now. And again, having all of you guys along the way and having this community to be able to be with you, all of you, has been, you know, the icing on the cake for this season. And I wouldn't have it any other way. The best thing Mark did was put us on YouTube, because it brought us to you.
Thanks, guys. We love you. We'll see you next time.